Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need!
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
All right, we've officially hit the offseason of the NFL. Welcome in. Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. You can hit me up at Dan Beyer on Fox. And our executive producer is Ryan Bershinger, hanging out with us. Find him on X at Ryan Bershinger. The Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions, doing it in overtime. Just 3 seconds left in that first overtime to tackle the San Francisco 49ers, 25-22. Number three for Andy Reid, Mike, and number three for Patrick Mahomes. I don't think it was a great game, but it was a pretty darn interesting ending.
Well, that's just it, right? It doesn't have to be spectacular. It just needs to be close late and let the stars come out and make some plays over the course of the night. I guess, you know, watching it, you were in stadium, so you didn't have the benefit of, you know, Patrick and SpongeBob or Nance and Romo or the Hispanic broadcast, whatever you were looking at to help along the way. But the fact that we weren't talking about officials, we probably should have a little more than we did. And, you know, we're looking at special teams coming up big in the game as – you know, we always talk about it being a third, and we say so normally with our tongue in cheek, except for those rarefied kickers. But, you know, that's the part of the tale of the tape. And, you know, we got more Mahomes. And if you didn't love him already or hate him, you're even more more entrenched in your belief afterwards, right? Because it was more of the same. And like we talked about a lot during the regular season, guys, if you don't kill them they will come back after you. It's like, yes, the, you know, the villain at the end of a horror movie or whatever else. Really make sure they're dead before you turn and start getting back to making out or listening to music or having a drink or whatever the hell you're doing. Because Reed, Mahomes and company will come for you.
You know, it's amazing you mentioned the in-game experience versus watching on TV. One of the things that I can tell you is I only saw Taylor Swift on the Jumbotron twice. One of those was the chugging of the beer, which got a lot of run. And then another was during the pregame ceremony. I think it was during Post Malone's performance where they showed her on the screen.
Interesting, because that was one of my questions I had for you, because it was 54 seconds in the broadcast.
Yep.
So wonder if they just had decided to give one of the Jumbotron screens to her altogether. here you go.
just a live feed of her on there. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And she was put in a spot where what they do is they go around and they, you know, like you would at a Laker game or anything, they do the celebrity views.
Okay, sure.
And she wasn't even in the first montage. She was in like the second or third one. So they did a good job in terms of, you know, mixing it in, you know, that way of not making an obvious spectacle of it. But yeah, I was curious to hear on how many times she was on screen, and I've heard 11 and I've heard 12 times. So, you know, about a dozen, you just said 54 seconds. She was probably on the screen for about a total of 15 seconds in the stadium.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have thought in stadium, if you're not showing commercials, I mean, otherwise what are you doing? Raiders trivia?
You know what they're doing?
The answer's Jet.
The plays of 2023. Oh, you know, like that sort of stuff. Yes. That's what you
thrilling.
A mixture of. Then they bring out the Hall of Famers, you know, and then, you know, here'll be a little trivia for you. They bring out a great, like of you know, the team's past. And they bring them out, and you know, then all the fans cheer when they see that person. Would you guys like to guess what great they brought out for the 49ers? Do you want to take a guess? We don't have to play this game, by the way, because I hate it when people spring games.
No, it's good.
No, I like. I mean,
I'm only doing it not that you should get the correct answer, but just because I think it is so intriguing to see who was chosen for both teams.
I would assume Joe Montana. I know he was there.
Okay.
During the week, at
you
least.
Good with that, Harmon?
Yeah, I think that I'd go with that. Sure.
It was Joe Montana. Okay. Joe Montana was the one that they showed for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
Who do you think they showed for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, this one's easy.
Okay.
Unemployed coach Mike Vrabel, since he already adopted the Patriots, now he's on his victory tour. I was a chief.
Also Joe Montana. That's
nicely done.
Good call.
That's
good
brilliant.
Call. It was Dante Hall.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Not a Priest Holmes sighting. Not wow.
No.
Not a Tony Gonzalez.
Nothing. Nothing. Wow, not a Jan Stenerud. Nothing.
Yes. Dante Hall.
Of course, we only think of Jan Stenerud as a Packer. So,
of course,
right, Bursch. Yeah, you don't even consider him a Chief.
I don't know that he knows. That's before he's younger than us, Dan.
I'll be real. I don't know that.
That's when all the kickers were from Europe and spent like 18 years in the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah,
and they all look like they smoked. I'm not alleging anything, but they all look like they smoked two packs a day and were 20 years older than they were.
Oh, man.
It's like a lot of the wrestlers of the late 80s. Wait, that guy was 40?
Man, you're seeing Harrison Butker and Jake Moody kick 55-plus yard field goals. I know Butker's was like 57. And then you just see, as Mike says, these guys are like smoking on the sidelines and still, you know, booting them through. Quite a different game. But yeah, I thought that was unique. Mm-hmm. The crowd cheering. You know, like if you had Christian Okoye, you know.
Sure.
And by the way, they went nuts for Dante Hall. And he was an exciting player for them. But when you have it next to Joe Cool, and you're right, Bursch, the Chiefs should have just lent them for another one.
And, you know, and now he's got like one of those jerseys half and half. Well, I know Christian Okoye was just out here for a big promotion they did with AM570, our flagship in L.A., that he showed up with Eric Dickerson and stuff.
Oh, wow.
It would have been easy to get him out there, in theory.
I know, Mike, I know you've been around all these guys, and I've been fortunate enough as well. You want to know where I met Christian Akoya?
Bathroom.
At a Hooters in Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis. Now, there's the random Hooters. Okay. What, back in the day, I know we did some promotions with Hooters through the network. Yeah.
We did. And so Super Bowl 46, he was, you know, obviously came by the set to join the show, and there was some time to kill, and so he sat at a table with me, and that's I shot the bull.
I love that. That's fantastic. Way back. You got any photos?
No, because it was so long ago. There's no, you know, maybe I had my digital camera back then. Maybe that was it, but it probably wasn't coming on my phone. Oh, man.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Memories, baby, memories.
Yeah, yes. So what are you going to remember from Super Bowl 58, Mike Harmon, from this game?
Well, I mean, look, selfishly, and I said it on the show, Bursch was working with Smith and I on Monday night. I will get to, for as long as Smith and I are working together, remind him that a guy that wasn't good enough to get on the field with the Jets caught the game-winning touchdown pass in a Super Bowl in Mecole Hardman. So that's part one. Defensively, I mean, Chennault was fantastic. Two of the biggest plays of the game, but because of the way it flows, he's an afterthought. Right, the strip of McCaffrey for the fumble on the opening drive where the 49ers are moving very quickly. Like, that felt like, whoa, here we go, right off the jump. And then you get the big fumble, and then he gets a hand, one of two guys to get a hand on the blocked PAT for Moody. So some big plays there. You know, and Patrick Mahomes, he made plays with his legs, right? He finished with 333 passing yards. That's fine. The two touchdowns, there's not a defender within 10 yards of those guys.
Yeah.
Right? So great play call, obviously, going back to the Kadarius Toney call, just more or less the same formation, same play and everything else. And then you had the MVS that you had tweeted about because you talked about him, and he made a pop for you with that touchdown reception, Dan.
That's right.
But coming off of the punt, right? So you have that. But for me, it was – Patrick Mahomes' biggest plays came with his legs. For all of the talk about his arm and 333 and a couple of touchdown passes, whatever. Like, he wasn't threading the needles. It was a lot of dink and dunk and some open receivers. And then defensive backs who suddenly forgot how to play defensive back on the 52-yarder to Mecole Hardman. You know, the turnover-worthy throws we talked about, Dan, I'm still counting that as one, even though it ended as a 52-yard reception. But I'm going to remember that Patrick Mahomes' stamp on this was that he ran for 66 yards, including big runs when it mattered.
Yeah, that fourth and inches. You know, and again, they don't sneak after he hurt his knee.
Right.
You know, they don't do that anymore. And then the run to set them up inside the red zone in that overtime. By the way, it was Bursch who was on MVS.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just want to give him give him where credit was due. I swear to God, guys, I was going to have first touchdown scorer be Juwan Jennings.
Oh,
oof. But he almost got a hat trick too, though.
Yeah, that's true. But he would have thrown it, so it wouldn't have counted. You know, I would have bet that would have been a kick in the you know what.
Oh, absolutely. But that would have sucked.
First, what are you going to remember about Super Bowl 58?
I think ultimately I'll remember the ending. As a game as a whole, through the first half, you kind of were watching the game going, this is a bit of a mess. Like, it's fumbles on both sides, really not a lot of offense going, and it was hard to really get a feel as to who was winning that game, because it was basically the same things happening to both sides. And the second half too, I mean, obviously because of the score, like, it was an incredibly even game. And there was much of the game where I thought that the Niners were going to win, but you just felt like the Chiefs were still going to hang around long enough to do whatever was needed, because ultimately when any team got into the red zone, the defenses showed up and they made stops at points when they needed to. I think the special teams aspect on both sides, again, both kickers who, you know, Jake Moody had his issues coming into throughout the season as a rookie, but he looked great. Butker is is performing phenomenally as a postseason kicker. He had a great game. And Chris Conley for the Niners making huge plays on back-to-back punt returns. Like the special teams was actually rather impressive on both sides. So I think what was great about this game is, as you mentioned, Dan, we're not talking about officiating. We're not talking about, like, I mean, yes, of course, there was the blocked extra point that did make a big difference, but that wasn't a missed extra point. That was a block. So it was, you know, it's hard to, like, really fault it. So we're not sure. There's talk about the overtime rules and the way that things were handled in overtime. But I think overall, even with all these excess things, the game was really truly decided by the two teams performing the way they did. Mahomes was fantastic using his legs. And I look at it from a fantasy perspective. Like, when you throw in his rushing yards with those passing yards, he finished just shy of 400 yards total there. So a phenomenal fantasy performance, as you mentioned, Dan, because of the injury that he had last season. We haven't seen those rushing numbers from Mahomes. So you watch this game going, man, it'd be really nice to have a Patrick Mahomes again in fantasy who's throwing for 300 and rushing for 50 a game. That would just be incredible. But that's just simply not going to happen because desperate times called for desperate measures, and Mahomes got those yards on the ground when he needed to, and he looked great. But yeah, overall, I think because of the ending especially, we'll remember that overtime and the way things went down. And I like the fact that the new overtime rules came into play in a way that really did feel fair and even at the end.
Yeah, it was.
Well, take us inside. You were there with the energy flow,
yeah,
and the back and forth, whatever the in-house DJ was doing, because the other guy had a family,
yeah,
thing. So,
I think
had to
Cascade.
Swap out. Yeah, Cascade showed up.
Yeah, Cascade, and it was a waterfall of beats, I'm telling you.
Nice.
It was.
Don't go chasing them.
That's true. I'll take myself. So I'm sitting there watching the game, and I thought to myself, if I'm at a Super Bowl party right now and it's midway through the third quarter, I probably have lost interest in this game.
Yeah.
Like, I am more talking with people, or I'm going back for seconds, or I go to take a leak and I'm just staying in there, you know, a little bit longer because I don't need to rush back and, you know, go and watch the game because there was nothing to miss. You know, even a guy, you know, that was sitting next to me, because everybody stays for halftime. Like, nobody goes,
sure,
and rushes out. They all want to watch halftime. And then when halftime ends, that's when people get out of their seats and go, you know, run to the restroom or whatever they do. And the guy goes, you know, make sure nothing happens. And and he comes back and he goes, thanks, you know, because nothing did happen.
Well, you missed an interception and then nothing.
Yes,
right? There was an opportunity. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, but, you know, like, yeah, again, like, there wasn't a lot of buzz. And it was a very pro Niners crowd, and it's not that Kansas City didn't represent, it's just we're, you know, the western part of the U.S. There are a lot of Niners fans in a lot of places. It's easy to travel, you know, all of that. You're just getting more, you know, you're getting more fans, but you wouldn't have known it because there was not a lot to cheer for, you know, like, and so that was the unfortunate part. And so, like, when I sit there and I look back and I think of, what am I going to remember? I think that the only thing I'm going to remember is that last touchdown. There wasn't a play, guys, in there that I'm thinking, ooh, that's going to stand, you know, that's going to be one we're going to remember. And I think in a lot of times, good or bad, you know, even, you know, Super Bowl 50 was kind of a crappy game between the Panthers and Broncos. We remember Cam Newton not diving on the football.
100%.
You know, like, yeah, you know, like that's a play. And, like, this one, for, like, what it was, you know, Travis Kelce's play to set them up near the end of regulation was nice. The Juwan Jennings, you know, touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey. But in the end, that's what I'm just going to take from it. I don't know how history will look, you know, back at the Super Bowl. But, you know, for as great of an ending as it was, I don't think that it's going to have its imprint in, like, Super Bowl history. It's going to be another one for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I don't even think, as a Niners fan, you know, you came so close to winning this, and you're obviously, it just stings, and you're kicking yourself. But, like, are you sitting there, are you looking back at that fourth down play? You know, are you looking back at trying to stop them at, you know, at the goal line? I'm just curious on what play for San Francisco you're going to sit there and, yeah, you know, kick themselves on.
Well, I got the one.
You got the one?
I got the one. It's overtime third down. Chris Jones, the guy you have to account for.
Yeah.
You don't account for, because that's the hat trick for Jennings.
When they're on offense.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's the hat trick for Jennings right there. And it's a touchdown. And all of the arguments of taking the ball, not taking the ball, whatever, are moot. Because you scored your touchdown. You finished the drive. Instead, he comes through unchecked. Purdy's got to get rid of it a second earlier than he wants to because Jennings was wide open. Right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't get the right trajectory on the ball and it falls harmlessly for an incompletion. Like, that's the one that's going to stand for me because we've seen tip balls throughout the night, right? Because we saw, you know, good pressure up the middle and a number of balls that, you know, they got fingers on or you had to Purdy kind of short arm it to try to get it out of there, including one that could have started to look like the tuck rule. At one point. But then that play, you know, money on the line, the guy that held out, and we joked about it all offseason of, you know, what happened with all the running backs and everything else coming back to play. This guy's got a Super Bowl ring, and he's got Andy Reid diving on him after the game because of that play. Like, he did a lot during the game, right, even if the stats don't show it. But that play disrupted it all. Otherwise, Patrick Mahomes and company have to come down, and they have to score a touchdown.
Yeah, he's the reason they beat Buffalo, pushing Deion Dawkins into Josh Allen when Shakir's wide open in the end zone. And if Allen gets, you know, anything on that throw, it's
right, just enough to disrupt it.
Yep, yep. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Let's continue the overtime conversation because there is so much to talk about that. It is I Want Your Flex, our recap of Super Bowl 58. Hit Mike up at Swollen Dome. Hit Ryan up at Ryan Bershinger. It's just Ryan Bershinger, right? Not the Ryan Bershinger.
Yeah, no, it's just...
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Remember, it would be the, because if you spell the, it might be a guy that's hijacked your account.
That's true. It only took me 18 weeks in the playoffs to double-check with Ryan on that one. Hit me up at Dan Beyer on Fox. We'll talk about all the talk about overtime and who knew what and who didn't know what. That's next year on I Want Your Flex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, we're in our second half, but we are talking overtime. It is I Want Your Flex. I'm Dan Beyer. That's Mike Harmon. Ryan Bershinger is our executive producer. We are all hanging out. I got to lay out where I was brought into this overtime conversation, because I will readily admit, and I did not think twice as the coin toss was happening in that stadium that San Francisco actually had a decision. And it wasn't until I did an interview for the network with Aaron Torres and Jason Martin that they asked me about it. And they said, a lot of people are talking about this, you know, on social media. Did the 49ers make an error in it? And I gave my reasoning, and I thought that the Niners defense ended up, you know, needing a break at that point. Take the ball, put the pressure on Kansas City. I think we're getting a lot of hindsight is 2020. Now when this situation is going on. But I will readily admit, I did not think that Fred Warner, when he went out there, called tails, and it was tails, and they won the toss, made the wrong decision. And even as we sit here and we record this podcast, I still am not sure that he made the wrong decision. I think if I would have done it again, I probably still would have taken the football. Where do you stand in all of this, Mike?
I would agree 100%. You know, in the moment, you know, I was chatting Bucky Brooks, you know, we do the Sunday morning show. We were going back and forth a little bit. I'm like, you know, aggressive putting the ball in the offensive hands. He goes, well, he's trusting that side, right? And certainly we look at after the punt debacle, right, off the foot and then the quick score by the 49 or by the Chiefs, they'd scored, what, that was four straight possessions, right? And you talk about the second half of the fourth quarter. There were two drives that were 23 plays, right? And most of the clock, most of the final 6 minutes occupied there by the Chiefs. By the way, the Brock Purdy number was rushing yards was 13 when he knelt down to put it to overtime. Guess what? 12 yards.
Oh.
And then we have the final score, 25-22, the over-under, 47.5. I also lost on a squares because they didn't kick that extra point, but that's a whole other thing. But I've agreed with it. You know, the more you think about it, and again, going back to what that defense looked like, because remember the first half, they're flying all over the place. You know, we had talked about it last week and setting things up of, you know, they're going to need Chase Young to appear and not – okay, where was Chase Young in the fourth quarter? And he was all over the place. And Bosa was all over the place. And there's certainly screenshots of him getting hugged and loved by the offensive line of the Chiefs, but that's neither here nor there. They don't call it. It's not a penalty, right? Wink, wink. But the idea that, you know, you're putting your offense out there, you come out with a great game plan, and then they executed, right? That was a great drive. And then it stopped short, and we chronicled it in the at the end of the first segment here of, you know, that play, but for another second, is a touchdown, and now he looks like a genius, assuming Wilkes and the defense can hold serve.
I also don't think that it helps the 49ers cause when players are like, we didn't know the rules.
Well, that's the thing, right? The optics of that.
Yeah,
is bad, and it doesn't reflect well on the relationship, I don't think.
Sure, and then, you know, the Chiefs saying, like, we practice this in training camp, but also, like, the Chiefs going for two in that scenario. Like, that, you know, that's, you know, Patrick Mahomes said that, I don't know if we should have said this, but we would have gone for two. And I just don't, that's where I think hindsight is 20/20. Maybe they're lying to us. I'm not sure. It's just that's a really gutsy call, especially for a team that we have chronicled on this podcast that has had such trouble scoring in the red zone that you're going to put, unless you have the one play that you've been saving all season long, you know, for that moment. I have a tough time believing. Burst, where are you on what the Niners did or maybe should have done?
Yeah, the more I've thought about it, the more I think I agree with their call to start with the ball, because I actually think that Shanahan's response to we wanted the ball third makes sense. I think when you ultimately look at it, are you really going to say, let's just give Patrick Mahomes the ball to start over time? Like, it feels weird, because then you're mm-hmm. just putting yourself in a position where you, at, you know, at worst, you have to tie Patrick Mahomes. And so I get it. I think that it does make sense, because you start with the ball. You kind of, you're not putting the same pressure on yourself as you would if you're...
Well, it goes to that Purdy discussion, right? Yeah. If they give up three or they give up seven, now you have to perform at it and be that much more precise.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, if you are electing to go second, you're most likely going to be playing from behind. And I get that it does make a difference in your aggressiveness, but also, like... That difference in aggressiveness can come back to bite you. So I think they did make the right call at the end of it. And I'm with the players. I forgot that the overtime rules had changed. I forgot that was a thing. It doesn't surprise me that the Chiefs practiced it, because like they were in the game that made that happen. So it is different. These are two teams coming from at it from different places of experience. Yeah, I straight up forgot when overtime first started. I was like explaining to my fiance that it's like, all right, well, whoever starts out with the ball, if they score a touchdown, the game's over. And then they put up the graphic and I went, oh, that's right, no, I'm wrong.
But hey, how about this? I had somebody text me that they thought that overtime was running out and that the Chiefs are going to run out of
they didn't do a good job of explaining that on the broadcast. Yeah. Like they failed there. I wouldn't have expected SpongeBob and Patrick to take care of it, but I certainly expected a little more depth.
It was the Y2K of the NFL. Like, what is going
what happens if it goes to zero
when this overtime ends? What is going to happen?
It reminds me in soccer, like, you know, somebody scores in the first 15 minutes and you're like, okay, we're not done. Okay, we got to play some more.
Yeah.
Wait, now we have another halftime. We got to play 15 more minutes.
Plus 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, now there's another. Yeah, now there's injury time, stoppage time. Like, what are we doing here? Mm. Like, so it was confusing to a lot of people. There was no 2 minute warning, you know. But but yet you get three timeouts.
Right.
Mm. You know, like.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that the 49ers didn't utilize those. Go back, and I referenced Carl Loftus before. How the hell does he get to sit on the field for 9 minutes or whatever the hell it was with a hurt finger? Like, get off the field! Like, the 49ers are driving, this guy gets to sit down while he's looking at it and flexing his pinky and crap. Like, what is this?
I wish they would have just waited one more play so we could have gotten double overtime.
Well, and, McManus, more conspiracy theories, because McManus had brought that up during the week.
They also would have changed ends of the field, and they wouldn't have been so far away from us where we were sitting.
Fair point, yeah.
In the, you know, four rows from the top of Allegiant Stadium. Again, treating the media well. By the way, we deserve to be up there, so I'm not complaining at all. The two things that I'll say, because I've thought a lot about this over the last 24 hours, and I think that we get swayed by the college rule, mm-hmm. where you're already in field goal position. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think it's maybe not completely different, but I think it's very different from starting in a spot there where, like, yeah, if you get a, you know, stop or they miss a field goal, then you're like, okay, we just can't run any plays that take us out of field goal range. Like, you're basically just sitting on the ball in college football. That's not what this is. Like, this is, you know, your opportunity to make a team drive 80 yards down the field. This isn't your already in scoring opportunity. So that lends me to think that Fred Warner and the Niners made the right decision in choosing Tails. Because we hate, you know, I don't know anybody who really likes the college, you know, rule.
I actually
think that they should start at the 35, mm-hmm. make them at least accomplish something. And that's my second point, is the one thing that the 49ers have to do, and this is any team that does do that and chooses to get, you know, to take the football, you have to do something with it on that drive. You can't go three and out, because now you're punting back and you're giving that team the ball at around the 30, you know, maybe 35-yard line. And now they only do need the field goal to win. So they need, you know, 20 yards to do it. There is more pressure on the offense to do something in that scenario. but that isn't a reason to shy away from like not getting the football. And I understand the four down stuff and how it all plays out. Maybe they made the wrong choice in going for it or kicking the field goal, you know, on fourth and four, Mike, to your point about not converting on the Jennings thing. If you end up going for it because you're inside the 10-yard line, now you're making the Chiefs go another, you know, 70 yards or so, right, as opposed to, you know, trying to, you know, them just going for three or going to go for the game-winning touchdown. Maybe that would have been the decision for the Niners to actually try to go for it on that fourth down.
No, and, that, and that's certainly the extra permutation. I think all of it, you know, comes back to everybody, I think, had their poison pens. And I say everybody, you know, knowing it's radio and podcasts and it's the nod and the wink. But a vast majority of folks, shall we say, were looking to write something negative about Kyle Shanahan to add to his resume of misery in big moments, or to try to knock down Brock Purdy again. Right, we love him, we don't love him, we love him again, and now we're indifferent because we need to go and shine up Patrick Mahomes' resume some more. But I think, you know, Shanahan was at a point as soon as that game goes final, you know, no matter what he did, it was going to be wrong. Like, if they lost that game, like, he could have called a perfect game of play calling and execution and everything. If they lost, it was still going to be, well, he can't win the big one. Look, they lost another lead.
Did you see the stat of him in fourth quarter and overtimes in the three Super Bowls? His teams have been outscored 68-12.
Yeah, and I knew it was pretty brutal. But yeah, that's
And again, like, this is what I heard from, you know, like, well, I shouldn't even say this is what I heard. We knew the Falcons defense was gassed.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're just throwing the football.
You know, like, wing it around. Yeah.
Yeah. So part of that is on him if anybody wants to say, well, he's not the defensive coordinator. Well, he sure as heck didn't help out the defense.
No, not at all. Absolutely. That was part of the equation for the second half of this game too, though, right? Mm-hmm. Chiefs were dominant in man-to-man, and they really trusted those guys on the outside were going to lock down. George Kittle was invisible. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely invisible during this game. And Purdy on throws downfield, he was off a tick virtually every throw. And then they went away from McCaffrey.
Yeah. The phrase run the ball was trending on Twitter during the game yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, because what did he finish with? 36 pass attempts, I think, was the number?
I got the box.
What
right
do we got? 23 of 38.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not great.
Right, and your big players were more or less invisible. You had a big reception. You had a bunch of guys that had a reception of at least 18 yards. Mm-hmm. Yay. But beyond that, like, Debo was a non-factor. Like, his biggest play was disrupting the would-be interception in overtime. But in terms of offensively, he didn't do much. He was also hurt. I have no idea how bad that hamstring was because he went to the tent. Losing Greenlaw. I mean, that was the camera shot of the day, Dan. All right, he's going to run. Oh, no. They covered that up really nicely for as long as they could. But offensively, some dump-offs to McCaffrey, obviously the trick play. But in terms of explosive plays downfield, all of those big weapons got neutralized. So credit to Spagnuolo. You know, as much as we talk legacy for everybody else, how about we start raising him up as one of the greats?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. This is my point, and I said it on the network on Monday with Purdy. I think we may not have the exact look at Purdy, but I don't mind being in the middle on Purdy because that's where I kind of feel that he is. You know, I think he benefits with the talent around him, but I don't think that he's, you know, a bad quarterback. I don't think that he stinks. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I wanted to see if he was great, and the argument that was made by so many that supported him was he's got all these great players around him, but he is special. There's something different about him. And we found out what happens when you take some of those guys away. Debo gets hurt. Kittle's, you know, non-existent, maybe dinged up a little bit. CMC isn't being used. And then Brock Purdy kind of falls back into that spot. That's all that, you know, I'm saying and I'm seeing. You know, it's not a discredit to what Brock Purdy had done throughout the season. It's just, you know, that's such a polarizing topic of Brock Purdy. And I think that we saw really what Brock Purdy is at this point of his career. And that could change over the next 10 years. But I think we saw it on Super Bowl 58, that, he can't do it all by himself. And I think that's kind of the argument. No quarterback really can, but others are better at doing it than Brock Purdy is.
I think when we look back on Purdy getting to the Super Bowl with this team, I don't think we're going to say it in the way where we're like, Trent Dilfer got to the Super Bowl. You know, I think we're going to say it more as like Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that Purdy, I don't think Purdy's a bad quarterback by any means. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a pretty decent one. And that's honestly fine, especially in today's NFL. Like, there's a lot of bad quarterbacks. Like,
year two.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the other part of this, guys, is that, you know, for all that the big grandiose arguments we want to have about him and have on sports TV and radio, it's year two.
Yeah.
Like, he can't get better?
Yep.
Right? And be better downfield and maybe slide? Because one of the things, you know, stands out, like, talk about Mahomes with his legs. We didn't see Purdy really try to run at all. Like, one to the outside, he finishes with 12 yards in the game, like you said, but you know, that part of the game wasn't on display. No designed quarterback runs. But I got to imagine, you know, year three, we get a better version, right? That it cleans up a little bit. And what happens roster-wise, I mean, both these teams, if you look at pending free agents or contract decisions, it's like so many other teams in the NFL. They're not going to look anywhere near the same as they do this year. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made. But for him, I think everybody's trying to write it like he's done. Just like the Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. All right, he's already the greatest of all time. Like, no, hold on. What are we doing? We're skipping the best parts.
I know we're going a little long, but I just want to end with this, because the Super Bowl has put an end to the 2023 season. Bursch, I don't know if you even remember this time, but there was a time where we would have a Pro Bowl to look forward to. Okay,
yeah.
Tell you what, I was missing that. Usually I get to the end of a football season, I'm just like, okay, all right, I could do without it for a while. But literally the day after, I'm like, you know what, I could go for one more. You know, can't we just trot the AFC and NFC out in Hawaii and, you know, like, do this thing the way that it should be? I already having some FOMO without football, and we're not even 24 hours removed from the Super Bowl.
I remember you were doing what those commercials were, where the guy shows up sadly to his friend's house. He's on the doorstep with the chips and beer, and he's like, yeah, well, I mean, hey, we got one more at least, right? Like, I remember when the Pro Bowl was
now you got NASCAR and the NBA All-Star game. But before we dip, though, Dan, I mean, you were there. Any final thoughts? I mean, Vegas for the week, I had my FOMO. Certainly missing out, not just the game, but just the week it was. I mean, Los Angeles, we had an earthquake, and we had torrential downpours for several days where everything was shut down, and now there's all these things about mansions getting ready to slide off into the ocean. So for you there in Vegas, you know, what'd you take away from the week that was?
Well, fittingly, I made it rain a bunch in Vegas.
Nicely
no, I'm kidding.
That did not... Good man. Lisa, look at him.
that did not happen.
Broadster, oh. This is how you do it.
Hey, I kid you not. This is how much of a loser I am. I went to Famous Dave's barbecue 3 times.
That's not bad.
8 days.
That's some good eating.
The lady remembered me on my 3rd time. Probably because I sat at the same table, you know, every time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, it was good. Honestly, it was great. And there are Super Bowl sites. There are very few, if any, cities that can match the hotel space that you have with Las Vegas and being in that centralized area. And to me, that is worth everything. To have everything there. The stadium was across the freeway. For media, you know, media complaints about everything. You know, we had a shuttle ride over. Took about 25, 30 minutes or so. Sure as heck beats an hour and 15, you know, in one of those things. Like, there's stuff that we experience that a lot of other people don't experience. I also realized that it probably priced a lot of people out, of going to that game. It's the one thing that I worry about is if it is in Vegas, that'd be a pretty good one to go to if you're going to it, but how many people will be able to afford it? But yeah, it was really good. And that's the three spots that I have, I take everybody else because I have my own, personal opinions on what Super Bowl sites are the best. People love Miami. People love New Orleans. And since New Orleans is next, I'm really curious on how it stands up to Vegas. Because if it holds up pretty well, as Roger Goodell says, they look forward to coming back. I think you're going to probably see it, every 5 years or so.
Well, I look forward to showing up, and it's one of these things with ticket prices. I mean, you guys know how I feel about this stuff. It's the, like you save for anything else in your life, make a choice, right? Unless you're the Chiefs right now or the Patriots in years past, you got a lot of years oftentimes before your team sees it.
Sure.
So part one to that. And tickets did come down. I saw got down towards 5,000, not to, thumb my nose at, 5,000, everybody's got it laying around. But again, if you're looking at once in a lifetime kind of experiences, you have it there. And then there were plenty of hotels, even for the Friday and Saturday nights, that were well under $300 a night. Mm. So as long as you can navigate the cab part of it, I think probably would have been the most frustrating of it, right? Flights getting to and from, okay. But I would imagine the cab from McCarran had to be a pain in the neck.
Sure.
Like that would, from a psychological standpoint, that would be
expensive.
Right. Yes. Standing, exactly. The expensive, hey, you know what? We're in a surge pricing mode. So you just get your best walking shoes and take off.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, it looked like a blast. I know there's been a lot about gaming. Obviously, going to overtime, we were talking with DeSager that the network made an extra $60 million plus. So good on them. Table games were down because people were looky-loos instead of players. So that was a downer for some. But
hey, the 50-50 raffle got up over 500,000.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. So wow. Because it kept on going and going and going. But, oh, man. Well, that's a wrap on the 2023 NFL season. But it is not a wrap on this season of I Want Your Flex. That's because Mike, Ryan, and myself will be back for one more episode where we draft our top 60 players for the 2024 season. Yes, already looking ahead. Do you guys know who you would take number one if we started it right now?
Yep.
Yeah, number one, yeah.
Okay, I am not too sure just yet.
I'm more resolute than I was last year.
Maybe,
how about
maybe
that?
Maybe I'll just give myself the number one pick to keep everybody in suspense.
I like that. Right. That's good.
Yeah, we'll find out next time. So for Ryan Bershinger and Mike Harmon, we hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl talk, and we'll be back to wrap up this season of I Want Your Flex coming up next week. Talk to you then.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.